4:30 and 76 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Kinsey Thompson.
The Fuzzy Duck will have a new drink they're unveiling called the Bald Beaker, and we're having game night with Andrew Davison at 5 o'clock that evening.
Several activities are planned for Independent Bookstore Day at Coffee Tree Books in Moorhead.
A local nonprofit has awarded a grant to the Moorhead State Adult Learning Center.
Work on a 64-acre park and sports complex in Grayson has begun.
Health officials do not recommend the growing trend of feeding pets raw meat.
Kentucky State Police are investigating a Bath County police chase that ended with one man dead.
In sports, Round County softball heads to Raceland tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight with lows around 56 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Coffee Tree Books in Moorhead will be celebrating Independent Bookstore Day this Saturday. The event is in its fifth year, and 550 independent bookstores in 49 states are participating. Rachel Kraft is a bookseller at Coffee Tree Books. She says the store will also be celebrating local Yarn Store Day.
It's a great time for knitters and crocheters to come out and show love to their local Yarn Store Day. There will be different patterns given away with your purchase of yarn.
Kraft says a free workshop will be held for knitters at 9 a.m. Children can pet some puppies during story time with Sunny at 11 a.m., and sales, giveaways, and special events will be happening throughout the day.
The Moorhead State Adult Learning Center has received a $1,000 grant from a local nonprofit program. Round 365 asks young philanthropists to pledge to donate $1 a day for 365 days a year, which is given to the Future Sustainability Program and other local nonprofits. The ALC plans to use the grant to help the ALC students pay for their GED test. Opal Fannin is an instructor at the ALC. She says this program makes a huge difference in the students' lives.
Many of them go on to college or vocational school. They do it for employment reasons, and some of them do it just for self-accomplishment.
Fannin says they have around 100 students who attend the ALC to obtain their GED, but only 20 to 30 of them actually complete the program. The ALC estimates the grant will supply 20 to 25 students with partial or full coverage of their test fees.
Moorhead State University's Methodist Student Center and the Music Industry Club will be hosting a concert with Phil Keaggy and special guest Gene Watson next month. The event will kick off at 7 p.m. on May 1st in Moorhead State's Button Auditorium with opening music by Glenn and Lisa Ginn. Reverend Drew McNeil is with the Methodist Student Center. He says Phil Keaggy and Gene Watson aren't the only talent included in the event.
Glenn and Lisa Ginn from Moorhead State University and the Moorhead Industry Club's commercial rock ensemble that has done major performances these past few semesters at the Downtown Convention Center, they're going to be the warm-up.
Doors will open at 6:30 p.m. MSU students get in free with their ID. A $10 donation is suggested for non-students.
Community leaders in Grayson broke ground last week on a new 64-acre park and sports complex. The project is several years in the making, and its main goal is attracting youth sports tournaments to the area, giving the city an economic boost. Youth tournaments are a growing industry nationwide, and Grayson Mayor George Steele hopes his community will be able to bank on the trend.
The restaurant tax that is being used to pay for that park, the whole purpose of it is to improve and speed up the economic growth of the community. The other things, the recreational purposes that for us here locally on a day-to-day basis, that is a good byproduct of it.
Steele says construction on the football and soccer fields have already begun. He hopes they will be able to be used this fall for area youth activities. Shelter houses, basketball and tennis courts, a splash park and amphitheater are all planned for the project's second phase.
Kentucky Power has teamed up with the City of Ashland and Ashland Community and Technical College for its annual tree giveaways. Eastern redbud, hazelnut, gray dogwood, and roughleaf dogwood saplings will be free for pickup in Hazard, Pikeville, and Whitesburg. The saplings will also be available in Ashland, along with additional varieties donated by the City of Ashland, including some hardwoods. Corporate Communication Manager Allison Barker says the annual Tree Day, while fun, is also educational.
We don't want to encourage customers to plant them under power lines, that trees and power lines are not a good combination. Our foresters are on hand to help explain the best places to plant the trees and also offer advice for caring for them.
The 5,000 saplings will be given away on Saturday beginning at 9 a.m.
The CDC and FDA have recommended pet owners not adopt the growing trend of feeding their pets raw meat. It's referred to as fresh pet food, and pet stores are lining their aisles with canned versions cooked to kill bacteria. Amy Johnson is with Feeder's Supply Store. She tells WKYT raw meat is not good for pets because it lacks essential vitamins they need, but there is some credibility to the diet.
So what it is it's going back to nature, so it's biologically appropriate. Wolves would not find a dry food, right? Wolves would not find a canned food, but they do find meat, and their teeth are made to shred meat, and so that's what we need to be feeding them.
Vets say preparing raw meat for pets at home can lead to sickness in the animal and owner. They've advised owners eager to try the trend to buy the store version.
We'll be back with more news right after this quick timeout. Support for MSPR comes from Ginny's Embroidery Unlimited, 143 East Main Street in Moorhead. Embroidery Unlimited specializes in screen printing, embroidery, heat press, quilts, and blankets, wedding, anniversary, and baby gifts, custom-designed t-shirts, pullovers, hoodies, hats, and bags for athletic teams, Greek organizations, clubs, and businesses. Open at 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Embroidery Unlimited can be reached at 784-7000 and Facebook under Ginny's Embroidery Unlimited. Kentucky State Police are investigating a police chase in Bath County that ended with one man dead. It happened Tuesday morning on Lyons Road between Owingsville and Mount Sterling. Officials say the suspect crashed the vehicle, then fled on foot. An altercation took place and a deputy fired a weapon. The suspect was pronounced dead at the scene. Trooper Scott Farrell says the cause of death is under investigation.
That's what they're trying to determine. They don't know if it was if they suffered a gunshot or if after, you know, or during the collision, you know, from which one would have caused death is what they're trying to determine.
Kentucky State Police's critical incident team is investigating the case. The names of the suspect and deputy have not been released.
A Flatwoods woman has been arraigned on child abuse charges. The Daily Independent reports 29-year-old Angela Wall entered a plea of not guilty in Greenup County District Court Wednesday. She faces charges of first-degree rape, sexual abuse, and several other charges stemming from the alleged abuse of a minor. Flatwoods police say Wall initially evaded police, but was apprehended in West Virginia and extradited back to Greenup County. According to court documents, Wall's boyfriend, Kevin Bowling, is also charged in the crime. They are both lodged in the Greenup County Detention Center.
Scott County Schools has announced the district is a victim of a multi-million dollar online scam. The FBI is now investigating after an unnamed vendor told the district it was never paid for an invoice. As the district investigated, it learned it was a victim to a fraudulent email masked as the vendor. The school lost approximately $3.7 million as a result of the scam. Dr. Kevin Hubb is the superintendent for Scott County Schools. He says things will operate as normal.
None of what's happened today is causing us to do anything differently when it comes to the financial operation of Scott County Schools.
The district purchased cyber fraud insurance, which may help further the investigation.
Kentucky officials have declared an environmental emergency to help with the cleanup of a creek where concrete waste was dumped. Division of Waste Management Director John Maybrier tells news outlets it's believed 225,000 gallons of slurry went into Blue Lick Creek in Bullitt County. The waste was from a paving and repair project in Louisville. Maybrier says declaring a state of emergency provides time, employees, and money to oversee the cleanup and doesn't indicate any danger to the public. He said crews are monitoring the creek and there's no concern about drinking water being affected. The restoration process could take at least 2 to 3 weeks. Officials said the contractor is responsible for the costs.
A Martin County motel is cleaning up its act. MKY's Wyatt Melton has a story.
A local group fronted by Pastor Casey Carver and board member Stephen Goble wanted to change the reputation of the Inez Motel. Members of the board met with citizens last year to talk about the community's issues. Drugs and addiction quickly became the topic of discussion. The group plans to renovate the old motel to create a drug rehabilitation center called God's Connection. Carver tells WYMT four churches have had a hand on this project. The rehabilitation program will last 30 days and cost members $300. For WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Moulton.
A Vanceburg woman died yesterday after a crash on State Route 8. WSAZ reports the single vehicle accident happened around 9 a.m. about 7 miles west of Vanceburg. 53-year-old Deborah Eddington was pronounced dead at the scene by the Lewis County coroner. According to the Lewis County Sheriff's Office, Eddington was driving a Chevrolet Cobalt that was headed east. It went off the roadway and overturned multiple times before coming to rest on its top near a field.
A Martin County basketball coach is being remembered after a fatal crash. WYMT reports 49-year-old Tim Rice ran into the back of a cement truck Tuesday morning. Rice was pronounced dead at the scene. Rice was coach of the Sheldon Clark High School girls basketball team. Principal Martha Williams says breaking the news was heartbreaking.
I had a staff member that took me into the office and said, you know, there's been an accident, and we hear it was Tim Rice. Our number one priority was to the girls basketball team. We knew how much they loved him, and it would be difficult for them.
Senior basketball player Mackenzie Preston says Rice was a friend as well as a coach, and that he always wanted the best for his team. Rice was also an in-school suspension teacher. Grief counselors will be at the school to help students having a hard time coping with his passing.
It has been months since Savannah Spurlock was last seen leaving a Lexington bar, but family members are still hoping for closure. Investigators say Spurlock was last known to be at a Garrard County home on January 4th. Investigators have searched homes, lakes, and farmland, but have been unable to locate her. Savannah's mother, Ellen Spurlock, tells WKYT it's hard to go about her daily life without her daughter.
Being with her, she coming home and, you know, giving her a big hug and she's fine, and just hanging around with her again.
The Spurlock family is offering a $10,000 reward and hopes someone will come forward. The reward expires May 15th. Any information pertaining to Spurlock's disappearance is asked to be reported to the Richmond Police Department.
Derby Day is getting closer, and the Better Business Bureau says that means it's a good time to be wary of potential ticket scams. Buying tickets from third-party sites is common, and anyone feeling uneasy about the purchase can check the company's reputation at bbb.org. It's also a good idea to check and see if the seller is a member of the National Association of Ticket Brokers, who heavily regulate their members. Heather Clary is the communications director for the BBB in Central and Eastern Kentucky. She says while not all purchases from websites like Craigslist are phony, there can be some indicators that they are.
So the red flags to watch out for is someone you can't meet locally to buy the tickets, anybody that wants you to pay in untraceable methods. They want you to wire money via Western Union, or they want you to buy reloadable cards such as Google Play cards or Amazon cards, things of that nature. There's just no guarantee, and you'd be left high and dry.
Clary says sellers that require credit cards are typically a sign of a trusted seller as well, since card companies themselves provide a lot of consumer protection.
Taking a look at the extended weather forecast, tonight a 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low around 57. Tomorrow, showers likely mainly before noon, mostly cloudy with a high near 62. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 42. On Saturday, cloudy skies with a high near 65. On Saturday night, a 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 53. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 64. And on Sunday night, mostly clear skies with a low around 44 degrees. Taking a look at the local temperatures, in Fleming, 76 degrees, Ashland, 78, Inez, 79, Grayson, 78, Lexington, 76, and right here in Moorhead, 77 degrees.
On our feature segment today, we'll follow up on the Paula Rubel towboat story from Tuesday. The industry on the Ohio River offers something unique that workers don't want to give up. Juliana Leach has the story.
Working 3 weeks at a time sounds like a lot, but it's how many workers in the river transportation industry make their living. Once on the river, the 7-member crew is comprised of 2 groups of 3 that switch shifts every 6 hours to maintain and operate the boat and a cook. That's deckhand Lonnie Green guiding pilot Jason Bogus on the Paula Rubel towboat between lock walls. The Ohio River systems are maintained by locks that control the depth and water flow of the current. With the lock at 110 feet wide and the boat in tow at 105 feet, Captain Clyde Kennedy knows there is little room for error.
Not everybody can do this. Whatever I work at, whatever I do, I try to make the best of it. 100% what I can get.
The low rumble you hear in the background never goes away. That is the sound of the 2,000-horsepower engines that allow the boat to push an average of 15 barges. The chief engineer, Brett Fitzgerald, is responsible for the upkeep of the mechanics of the boat and doesn't always see a lot of the light in a day.
From 6 in the morning to noon, and then I lay down from noon to 6, yep, 6 and 6 in the evening. And so I probably could get as more than I'm getting, I'll say that much.
With one full barge weighing an estimated 1,700 tons, that's more than 25,000 tons of dry goods on a tow.
The river industry is a good industry. You move a lot of product with a lot less fuel, effort, and manpower.
The youngest deckhand on the crew is 21-year-old Mason Parsons, who found the job security more reliable than other places he was working previously.
The stability of it. I was getting laid off in construction, weather, I'd lose days because rain, snow, anything like that. Wouldn't make as much money 1 week as I would next week.
Even in the middle of long days and nights, crew members like steersman CJ Brown agree they wouldn't trade the job for any other.
I've made a life out of it. It'd be hard for me to ever go to put another job, an everyday job, having to get up every morning, worry about getting to work on time. It's a different lifestyle out here. It's just something to get used to. I wouldn't trade it for anything else, though.
This has been Juliana Leach.
This feature was produced in association with the Convergent Media Department here at Morehead State University. The time is 4:47. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Kenzie Thompson, and we're glad you joined us on this Thursday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
The Vikings face off with the Lady Rams. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers.
The Rowan County softball team hits the road again tonight. The 14-6 Vikings travel to Raceland to take on the 14-5 Lady Rams. Head coach Larry Sloan says he expects a tough matchup.
They're going to hit the ball really well. They're probably the best team in the region. They got good pitching, good hitting, and they score runs. So, you know, they're the preseason favorite to win this region.
Game time tonight at Raceland is set for 6 p.m. In other softball action tonight, West Carter hosts Cross County rival East Carter at 5:30 p.m. The Lady Comets beat the Lady Raiders to open regular season play back in March 12-0. Also in action in the 16th region tonight, Ashland Blazer hosts Fairview, Elliott County hosts Morgan, and Fleming hosts Menifee. All three of those games are slated to begin at 6 p.m. Taking a look at 16th regional baseball action tonight, West Carter hosts Ironton, Ohio at 5:30. The 14-8 Comets are looking for their 6th win in a row tonight with home field advantage. Ashland Blazer hosts a doubleheader with Fairview at 5:30 p.m. The Tomcats stand at 11-6, while the Eagles boast a 12-9 record. We'll have scores from all of tonight's matchups tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Rowan County baseball team is gearing up for a trip to the Louisville Invitational Tournament this weekend. The Vikings are 20-3 on the season, coming off two wins over Bath County earlier this week. The team is used to being on the road, with 15 of their games so far being played outside Moorhead. Head coach Scott Collins says the Vikings kick off the tournament Friday with Scott County, and they'll have two games on Saturday.
You know, they lost quite a few players from last year, and they got a young team this year, so it's a little bit of the unknown. I can just tell you what we're looking forward to on our side is that we'll probably give AJ the ball, and hopefully we can get our bats going early, and hopefully we'll have a good outcome.
Game time Friday is set for 8:30 p.m. Saturday's matchup with Collins is set for 2:15, and the Vikings meet Pleasure Ridge Park at 4:30. Moorhead State baseball heads to Alabama this weekend for a three-game road series against conference foe Jacksonville State. With the regular season winding down, the Eagles are looking to secure their postseason position. Head coach Mike McGuire talks about the importance of these late-season conference matchups.
You know, we're a game out of first, so we still control all of our own destiny, which is great. I think that's one of the things you want to stay away from late in the year, is when you need help. That part is, we've got some very important games ahead of us. Obviously, this weekend at Jacksonville State is a pivotal series, I think, in determining standings.
MSU comes into the game with a 27-15 overall record and is 11-7 in conference action. Jacksonville State is 21-19 overall and 12-6 in conference play. First pitch is set for 7 o'clock on Friday night. You can watch that game live on ESPN Plus or listen live at MSUEagles.com. Moorhead State University softball team is gearing up for the Ohio Valley Conference play Friday afternoon. The 2-33 Eagles face off with Austin Peay in Clarksville. The Governors stand at 25-18 on their season. Moorhead head coach Samantha Jones says her team is focused on giving every team they face a tough run.
With the season the way it is, you know, we're not going to make it to the conference tournament, so you have an opportunity to kind of help eliminate some teams from the conference tournament and be the true underdog, I guess what you call it. And so just having that type of mindset and maybe that mentality of, you know, a little bit of fight in you, I don't know, some things could happen.
Game time tomorrow afternoon is set for 2 and 4 p.m. Live stats will be available at MSUEagles.com. Northern Kentucky University has a new head men's basketball coach. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has the story.
According to CBS Sports, Darren Horn has reached an agreement to take the job. The Kentucky native and Tate's Creek graduate spent the past four seasons as an assistant coach under Shaka Smart at the University of Texas. Prior to joining the Texas staff, Horn was the head coach at University of South Carolina from 2008 to 2012 and at his alma mater, Western Kentucky University, from 2003 to 2008. He has also been an assistant coach at Western Kentucky University, Moorhead State University, and Marquette University. Horn will replace John Brennan, who will now fill the head coach position at the University of Cincinnati. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley.
And finally in sports this afternoon, an English woman is looking to become the second female jockey to win the Kentucky Oaks. Paul Miles with the Kentucky News Network reports.
Sophie Doyle will be aboard Street Band in the Kentucky Oaks, the top race for three-year-old fillies.
Of all the big races to be riding in, clearly riding in the Kentucky Oaks is huge, especially being a female rider.
Doyle began her racing career back in England. She's now found success riding in Kentucky and Louisiana. Doyle and Street Band won the Fairgrounds Oaks in New Orleans.
We're jockeys. Simple as. We're the same as the guys out there. We ride hard. We ride smart. We do our job very well. And we work hard in the mornings like everybody else.
Rosie Nepravdik was the first female jockey to win the Kentucky Oaks, and she won it twice. I'm Paul Miles.
And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Murray State for a series of three games next weekend, May 3rd through the 5th. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials dropped as a sharp decline in 3M shares dragged down the entire 30-stock index. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did show a loss of 134.97 at 26,462.08. The broader market, as mentioned, stronger, with the S&P 500 down 1.08 at 2926.17. And the NASDAQ Composite was actually up 16.67 on strength in your FANG group of stocks, finishing at 8118.68. 3M dropped almost 13% after the company reported earnings that were much lower than analysts had expected, and the company also slashed its full-year outlook and announced plans to cut 2,000 jobs worldwide. And FANG stocks were in focus today as Facebook shares were up 5.5% after the company reported first quarter numbers that showed promising growth in stories and ads. And also after the close today, Amazon was up over 0.5% as Amazon reported better than expected earnings as well. Microsoft climbed more than 3% as its better-than-expected earnings were driven by a 41% surge in its commercial cloud revenue business. That growth was led by Azure, which saw sales skyrocket by 73%. UPS dropped 8% on weaker-than-expected earnings. And in the commodities markets, oil was down 1.25% at $65.06 a barrel. Gold was up 20 cents at $1,279.60 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down slightly, with the Stock 600 index down 0.2%. In Asia, most markets were down, with the Shanghai down 2.4% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.7%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Microsoft and Merck, and the worst performers were 3M and Verizon. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Cincinnati Financial and Facebook, and the worst performers were Xilinx and 3M. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Dollar General up 34 cents at $126.38, Marathon Petroleum up $1.13 at $60.63, UPS down $9.33 at $105.10, Fifth Third Bank down 2 cents at $28.26, Valvoline down 48 cents at $18.29, and Yum Brands was up 18 cents to finish at $103.52. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Bass player and vocalist Andy Brown will perform on stage at Coffee Tree Books, 159 East Main Street in Moorhead, from 6 to 7 p.m. tomorrow. Admission is free and the community is invited.
Taking one more look at the weather forecast for this week. Tonight, a 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low around 57. Tomorrow, showers likely, mainly before noon, mostly cloudy with a high near 62. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 42. On Saturday, cloudy skies with a high near 65. On Saturday night, a 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 53 degrees. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 64. And Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 44. Right now in Fleming County, it is 76 degrees, Ashland 78, Inez 79, Grayson 78, Lexington 76, and right here in Moorhead, 77.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Leanne Akers, Haley Stidham, Naya Andwaza, Brian Courtney, Wyatt Melton, Logan Pemberton, Cody Robinson, Chaz Jenkins, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from MSU Convergent Media student Juliana Leach. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.